Well, I'm loving this series, and we'll conclude it next week, but we're getting back to the basics. Some of the basic things that often points a church does, but some points it's easy to let it get clouded by making it so complex than it needs to be. Some points traditions does that, time does that. And so we're putting a refresher to different aspects of the church that really helps point towards a new culture, a new day, the new season that God has for Calvary Church. So today we're continuing in our How series. And last week we looked at how to approach prayer and fasting, and we're in the midst of that fast, so thanks to those that are fasting and hanging in there. Hopefully you haven't died of too much of a caffeine headache. I had a little bit of a tinge of that on Monday, on the first day. You're just kind of like, yeah, I'm missing that cup of coffee. But you turn that moment into prayerful moments, and it's amazing what God will do as he uses those physical moments to be spiritual reminders to guide us in our prayer and fasting. Well, today we're looking at how to approach communion, and today is Communion Sunday, and there's one of the parts when it comes to this that as we approach communion, it's one of the most sacred ordinances that the church has. And in fact, there's two things that Jesus told the church to do. Make sure you baptize, water baptism, which that's what we're going to look about next week. But also to make sure that we observe communion and that we do it regularly. Both of those, water baptism and communion, are both incredible pictures of what Christ has done for us and has accomplished on our behalf. And so both are incredible visual parts that we can't forget and just let it become routine. So that's why we want to reapproach, a refresh look at communion this morning. And I just encourage those watching online, even as we get into our message today, I just want to encourage you to go get a piece of bread or a cracker, some juice, so that you could partake in communion with us when we do that later. And so I want to involve you in this, so hopefully you can break away from where you're watching and grab a cracker and juice and be ready to partake with us later in the service. So as we approach communion, the tradition and what we see scripturally was really the biblical pattern was to do this weekly, probably. As with many things with the religious connections, it's easy for it to become entangled and muddied by tradition, people's own senses of how they grew up, family heritage. And so maybe you're new to Calvary, or maybe you're a new follower to Jesus, and you're really trying to figure out what all this Jesus thing is all about. We want to help you understand what this communion part of our service is all about. And there's probably some that have been attending lately, and maybe you've not been here on a Sunday when we've taken communion. And so we want to be able to help fill in some of the blanks where maybe you've not had information before. But right before we jump in, I just want us to really prepare our hearts, because as we gather around the table of the Lord, it's such an incredible, awesome thing. And we just want God's presence here as we go through this service. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have to just lean in to who you are and lean into your presence. God, we thank you for your great love for us. God, that your love for us is the reason, God, we can love you back. You first loved us. And so, Lord, you've reached out to us, and we invite you, Lord, as we partake around this table today, as we remember, as we take part of communion, that, Lord, we just want a special interaction with you. God, we want to experience your power. We want to experience your presence in a unique and wonderful way this morning. God, we want it in a way that will change us. So, Father, we thank you. Illuminate your word. Light it up, God. Let your word explode in our hearts and minds. To you, we give you the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So a great place to start, if you turn with me in your Bibles, is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to look at a few verses here, verses 23 through 26. And we often do this. Some points we'll read this passage when we take communion. And This passage is really a great passage because when this was actually written, when Paul was penning this letter to the Corinthian church, many Bible scholars will tell us that this letter was actually written before some of the Gospels were actually written. And so what we gain here is a wealth of some instruction even before we had the Gospels to guide us as a church. But look at verse 23. For I pass on to you what I have received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it into pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is my new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it, for every time you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. So communion is incredibly important. And so if you partake, you should know what you're partaking in, right? And so that's where we want to travel today. I just don't want us to be in a place as a church that we just go through the motions, and especially with communion, that we really have a great understanding of what it's all about and what God wants to do. So there's five reasons for communion that I want to unpack this morning. From what the Bible has to say about it. First, communion was commanded by Jesus. We saw it in the passage we just read. For I pass on to you what I have received from the Lord himself on the night when he was betrayed. The Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it into pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine and supper after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink. So as Paul is writing this to the believers in Corinth, basically we're getting, Paul is repeating the instructions that he got from Jesus himself. Jesus had given Paul these instructions, and Paul's repeating them here. And anytime you see words repeated twice, you should take note of it. So do this in remembrance, and do it with regularity on a regular basis. And there's some parts, I feel like the Assemblies of God Church, we miss this at times. When we relegate it to once a month. When we relegate things to once a month, there are aspects that we can miss. And I really want you to not, that's where lean in on the moments we take it. And some points, I know that there's going to be ways somehow as in the new season that maybe we'll be able to do it with more regularity as God inspires. But there's parts we need to be mindful to do this regularly, and that's why we do it. As often as we do it right now, as we know that this is a commandment of the Lord. Secondly, communion reminds us of our oneness as a body. Look at it in verse 23 and 24 again. On the night when he was betrayed, Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it, and then he broke it into pieces, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. See, the bread symbolizes the body of Christ. And that represents his life, his perfect, sinless life. And what's so amazing about when it comes to taking communion, the bread also symbolizes a piece of a loaf, that we are holding a piece of Jesus. And he has the bread of life. We are tied to one bigger loaf. And so just to put it into it's a reminder that as a church, this act of communion is bigger than an individual act. And so many times when we partake in a service, we're really focusing and examining ourselves. And there's also a corporate aspect to communion, which is quite beautiful. That as we each hold that piece of the bread, it's a reminder, man, I'm part of a bigger family. This is a piece of the loaf of Jesus. as the church. And we're not in this alone. When we look at what Jesus accomplished on the cross, we can look at that bread and a reminder of adoption. It's a reminder of relationship. Look at it in first, just one chapter earlier in chapter 10, Paul shares this. He goes, when we bless the cup at the Lord's table, we aren't sharing the blood of Christ. And when we take the bread, aren't we sharing the body of Christ? And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body. So here's the amazing part is it's a reaffirmation to unity. It's a reaffirmation that together, we're celebrating together what Jesus has done for each one of us. Each one of us that experience of freedom from sin, that experience of new life, we get to enjoy that experience in a special way as we're remembering what Jesus has done for us, but we're able to do it corporately. And like a choir of changed lives, we celebrate. Such a special, special moment that we have. And as we approach communion, we should have an awareness as a family. Look at 1 Corinthians one chapter later from our main passage today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. See, communion should bring us to awareness, not only of our standing with the Lord, but also our oneness as a family. Paul goes on just a few verses later and says in verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you are a part of it. See, the Christian life isn't all about you. It's not all about me. See, the Christian life is really meant to be lived out in a community. That's what Acts 2 is all about. And in this part, we can really start to have that reminder that as we're partaking in communion, we can have a reminder that the Corinthian church obviously must have forgotten about. They didn't have a grasp or an understanding of, and Paul was making sure that they didn't miss it and had missed it, that they didn't keep missing it, and that's a reminder for us to keep on and doing communion regularly. Third, communion reminds us that Jesus is returning. There's a propheticness to communion. It's a reminder that Jesus is coming back again. And it's so easy to get caught up with the busyness of life. It's so easy to, we've got our goals each week, right? Like, I already know what I need to do this week. And maybe you're like, I mean, you immediately, sometimes is that not hard to shut off on Sunday morning even? You get in here and you get into parts of worship, and especially during slow worship, isn't it amazing how you could start to go through your list of what you wanted to get done maybe this afternoon? And it's just, okay, maybe it's just me. But there's just parts where it's so easy to just get into a routine that we forget about the blessed hope that when we're taking communion, it's also a reminder that our Heavenly Father is on a clock to come back and to meet us and to usher us to heaven. Look at verse 26 of our main chapter. We've been looking at chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Look at verse 26, just a few verses after we had finished reading. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes. So as we do this, we are announcing till he comes. See, this life is not all that there is. Praise God, right? Praise God that this is not the only life there is. It's a reminder of a life to come. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? I mean, are you ready? I pray we're all ready that for Jesus to come back. And there is an edge that I feel like we've lost as a church today. And I'm saying capital C. We've lost an edge of expectation that Jesus could come back at any moment. I remember I just came to Christ in the early 80s, but there is still the carryover from the 70s. Thank you, Jesus people, that was part of the Jesus movement. because there was an expectation that, man, like, there's this great movie. It was like, if we looked at it now, we'd all laugh, but Thief in the Night. And they filmed it not too far from where we youth pastored in Iowa. And, but there's this incredible movie. It was kind of like, very similar to the Left Behind book series and movies that have come out since then. Very similar theme, but it's like just the suddenness that Jesus could return. And I feel like we've lost that. And just that expectation that Jesus could come back at any moment. May we have an expectation. Communion should help remind us that he's coming again. And be expectant. To put us on that edge that, Lord, because here's the amazing thing. If we knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow. So answer this truthfully to yourself this morning. If you knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow, would you live any different? Is there conversations you would have with family members? If you knew tomorrow was the day, would we live different? See, and there's a spot. That's the spot that Jesus didn't want us to miss, is that keep on edge. Not like pins and needles of fear that Jesus is coming back. Not that, but just an expectation that he's about to come, and we need to be ready. We need to be ready at any moment, and communion helps to be a reminder of that. Fourth, communion is a celebration of our Lord's conquering over sin and death for us. That's what I loved about the songs we're singing this morning, is it's a reminder of what Jesus has done. Look at our passage, our main verses today. Verse 24, and gave thanks to God for it, and he broke it into pieces, and this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. See, communion is a celebration. It's a joyful moment. Sometimes as a church, we make it into a little bit of a drudge, which is sad. I mean, there needs to be a solemnness, but it's also a celebration. And too many times we focus on the gruesome death that Jesus had, and we overlook or don't reflect on what he's done. We don't reflect on what he did with his body, the life that he lived, that he took our unrighteousness. He took it all, our unrighteousness, and then he gave us in return his righteousness. What he did for us, by dying on the cross for our sins, the fact that he reconnected us into a relationship with God. I can now have a relationship with God. God can lead my life. I don't have to do things in my own effort to lead life anymore. I have a God that's going to be with me and for me. See, this is a part where communion is a celebration. We have God as our Father. See, there's a celebration that we should celebrate in the midst, even in the midst of thinking of how he died, but the celebration that comes with it. So let me give you an illustration, because maybe you're going, I don't quite, how do we do this remembrance thing then? Let me show you a picture. So this picture, it's kind of one of my favorite ones, but if you've ever lost a loved one, and when you start to reflect on pictures, you can go back to that moment in time. So the picture you're seeing is a picture from Christmas of 1990. So for me, I'm seeing my siblings, my sister Julie on my left, my brother Brian on my right, and I guess it's backwards, huh? As I'm facing that way, it is. But as I'm looking at that picture, see, that was the last Christmas that as a family we were all together. 3 years later, this was 1990 was the first Christmas that being married, Stacy and I, and in ministry could go to my home for Christmas. Unbeknownst to us at the time, we would never have thought of it, that would be the last Christmas that I would have with my family, my mom and dad and my brother and sister, that the five of us, I and our families, are together. So see, I look at this picture and I smile because I see us together. It was the happiness, you know, it's the joy. And also, I still reflect on the people that we don't have. And it's amazing what pictures do. Pictures can take us even to different conversations with those people in the pictures and whatnot. And that's what communion can help us do, is just like when I look at that picture and I can just flashback. Because I thought for certain we'd have other Christmases. I could picture us bringing our future kids home for Christmas, that they could meet their different cousins and have our whole family together. And we're never guaranteed things in life. And this is one of those amazing parts that pictures can help us remember. And remember the specialness of that memory. And that's what communion does. So when we hold the elements in a little bit, it should flood our hearts with who Jesus is. Just like that picture can flood my heart of my family, not only that Christmas, but so much of life. We can hold those elements of communion, and it should flood our hearts with who Jesus is. Think back to two different messages we've had here where we've talked about the names of God. It should flood our hearts thinking back to who God is, that God is our provider, God is our healer, He is who He is, He is the God. Not just a God, He's the God. And see, that's what communion does, is it'll flood our hearts with memories of who He is and what He means to us, what He's done for us, how He's interacted with us, how He has gone before us, how He has walked with us, and how He died for our sins, leaving the splendor of heaven, having endured the wrath and judgment of God for our sin poured out on the cross. See, the result of cross, His death gave us a pardon for sin, and it was for all sin, past, present, future, all sin, all time, all of it, all of humanity's, just not mine, just not yours, but all of humanity, all at that one point, all at that one moment in time, came on Jesus, and once for all, He settled it. There isn't any more discussion on it. It's settled. We're free. We're forgiven. And so as we take communion this morning, it's a reminder that we're forgiven, we're adopted, we're loved. He's deposited the Holy Spirit in our life so that we can even experience an empowered life to live this life, not in our own power, but by a power of the Holy Spirit that will help us do things and to tune into God's leading more than what we ever could do on our own. See, and it's also important to remember that not only are we remembering Him, but that He remembered us. It's a reminder that He remembered us on the cross. Look at verses 26 through 29 of Matthew 26. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it, and He broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat. Eat it, for this is my body." And He took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink it, for this is my blood and confirms my covenant between God and His people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." The night Jesus was betrayed, Jesus was looking forward to heaven. So the moment He knew the agony of the road that He had in front of Him, He was still thinking of heaven, and He completed the work. See, communion is a reminder. It reminds us of heaven. It reminds us of victory that Jesus has done on the cross for us. It's a reminder that it's finished. It's done. It is settled. See, it's going to be one of the biggest celebrations ever when Jesus returns, heaven's going to explode, and it already explodes at the name of one person who comes back into repentance to Jesus. Heaven celebrates, but think of a celebration on top of a celebration. When Jesus is returning, heaven is coming to earth. It's going to be an incredible day. It's going to be an incredible moment because our Savior is alive. Communion is a reminder that, look, He rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. He's alive. Fifth and finally this morning, communion is a time that we receive from the Lord. Look at verses 27 through 29 of chapter 11. So anyone who eats this bread and drinks this cup from the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That's why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. See, many people focus on the examine yourself part of this passage, and that is an important part to do. Just take an inventory. Where do I stand with my relationship with God this morning? But there is much more that Paul was trying to make sure that we caught in this passage. See, when we put in our faith and trust in Christ, our sins are forgiven, past, present, future, they're all forgiven. The examination in here, we can sit there and be convicted and ask God for forgiveness even at that point, but you need to know the larger picture. If you're a believer, you're already worthy to take communion. So when you're approaching communion, this isn't about, am I worthy to partake in this? You are actually already worthy because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. So it's a moment to examine ourselves. That, and Paul was really trying to address, is to make sure that we didn't partake in an unworthy manner, that we didn't do it just for the sake of a ritual or a routine, but he wanted to make sure that we were remembering what he has done and approach the throne boldly. And that we're not doing this alone, but we're doing this together as a family. And so Paul wanted to make sure, don't approach communion in some mechanical manner, but come expecting, come remembering. If I could have the worship team come. As we, in a moment, will hold the elements in your hand, we're going to spend some time communing with our Lord and speaking to him. And we can receive, because of the new covenant, that communion represents. What's so amazing is it's a time that we can receive from the Lord, that God can actually speak to us. He can impart peace to us. Because we're talking about a covenant where God says, I remember their sins no more. We're talking about a covenant where not only are our sins forgiven, but they're forgotten. Forgotten. Not like our memory where we hang on to it. In God's mind, it's forgotten. We're talking about a covenant that only allows us to have forgiveness of sin, but adopts us as children. We are his children, and he loves us. The kind of covenant that God confirms and guarantees by setting his Holy Spirit in our heart and life. This is the type of covenant where we're no longer to be worshiping God through veils, that we can have direct access with God. It's an amazing covenant. This is the kind of covenant that says we have healing. In fact, before moving on, look at this verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I love how the Phillips version translation had it. Verse 24, he personally bore our sins on his body on the cross so that we might be dead to sin and be alive to all that is good. It was the suffering that he bore which has healed you. See, on the cross, we have healing. It's a covenant of healing, and it's a clear promise of his atoning work on the cross is that he is our healer, and he sees your need today. We can have healing as we remember. That's the amazing part. Even as we take communion, there's a moment, God, I need you to touch, and God can hear and heal. It's a kind of covenant that says, not only am I going to be with you now in this life, but I'm going to go and prepare a place for you in the next life. I'm going to prepare a place, and I will come again, and I will take you to be with me. This is the type of God that we serve. And until then, we can have a feast of God's kingdom power and presence here on earth just as it is in heaven. And that's what all gets symbolized in communion and how important it is for us as a church that we partake. If I could have our ushers come, I want you to come and we'll distribute the elements. So if all my ushers will come as we approach our time of communion. And by the way, in the middle of the trays, in each of the trays are, for those who need gluten-free wafers for bread, they're in the center of the communion tray, so feel free to partake that if you need that. We don't want you to be excluded from communion. And those watching online, would you please go grab, if you haven't already, a piece of bread or a cracker and some juice, and in a moment we'll come back and we'll celebrate communion together. Go ahead and distribute. We believe in open communion here at Calvary, meaning you don't have to be a member to partake in this. We just do ask that you are a follower of Christ, that you have come to that place where you have made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. And so if you've done that, please plan on joining in with us. So we have an amazing opportunity here at this point. As we come into the presence of the Lord, we will have the bread and we have the cup. And it's so amazing because communion reassures us, it reminds us, it reaffirms to us the work that he has done and is doing in our lives. It's the blessed hope that we have in him. Communion is an experience for us as a believer and as a body to remember. So as we begin in this moment, can we take some time to examine that we don't do this in an unworthy manner, but we do this honoring and worshiping our Heavenly Father this morning. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in the remainder of this service. Thank you for your love. We just invite you, God, as we send more time into worship to you, we just ask you to, God, continue to lead and guide us as we partake of this cup and this bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you will take your piece of bread, as you take that wafer out, it's a reminder of an incredible, perfect, sinless life. And remember, it's also part of a loaf. We are part of a bigger loaf. We are a body. His life distributed in our life, my life, your life, that's what we remember as we partake of the bread. Life, his life, in and through us. Lord, thank you for your life, a life that you lived perfectly and holy. And thank you, Father, for giving us new life in our bodies and our hearts. Father, we celebrate that. We celebrate the new life that you have given us, that we can come and remember this morning, that very moment you came through, that very moment you became more than a word to us. You became our Savior and leader. Lord, thank you for an amazing love. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. And as we take the cup, it's a reminder what we just sung about. There is nothing but the blood of Jesus could have accomplished what we have. Grateful for sinless life, and also grateful for a life that died for us. And not only died, but he rose again and ascended to our Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for your blood, a blood that covers all of our sin, that it is not only forgiven, but God, forgotten. God, you have given, you take on our unrighteousness and give us your righteousness. Amazing. So Lord, as we look at this cup this morning, we remember that moment that, God, there is nothing we could have done on our very best days, on our very best efforts, that could have accomplished what you did. Thank you for dying on a cross for us. Thank you for your blood that was spilled for us. We remember this morning and we celebrate. We celebrate this love that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning as we just celebrate with our God? Just go back into one song of worship before we leave this morning, and let's just celebrate and thank God for what he has done, what he is doing in our lives. It's just not what's done, but what he's doing, what this week will hold. Our God is for us and is with us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. We just continue into a time of worship that we just celebrate what you have done for us. In Jesus' name.